Good morning. For those that may be visiting with us for the first time today, I'm Pastor Brian, and I am thrilled to welcome everybody to worship with Clay Church today. We're in a sermon series called Ahead, and we're exploring as individuals and as a church how we can be essentially prepared for the future, whatever the future may hold, ready for whatever God may have ahead of us. It's interesting to be doing this series this year because it was just about 5 years ago that we asked a question as a church: what does God have ahead for us? Where is God leading us? A group of fantastic Clay Church leaders came together and prayed and had conversation with members of the congregation, groups from the congregation, and had conversations with members of the community and listened, and then they prayed some more, and they arrived at the time with an answer to this question: what might God be doing in the next 5 to 7 years through us as Clay Church? What will God be doing if we as the people of Clay Church are faithful to where God is leading? And this is the vision that emerged. First, to embrace every person in the love of God. The second part of that vision was to ignite passions to serve where God calls. And the third part of the vision was to expand Christ's love into our families and our neighborhoods, our community, and our world. This vision for Clay Church, it wasn't and it isn't just a, it wasn't just a dream, it wasn't just a hope. It was and is a call. It's a sense of purpose for who we are as Clay Church, and it's rooted in Scripture. In fact, the vision team at the time was trying to come up with just kind of a name for the team, something to draw us together, and the former vision teams at Clay Church, or at least the two most recent ones, had both had names that began with the letter C, biblical characters with the letter C, Caleb and Chloe. And so the group was joking, we should have a name for our team that begins with the letter C, and I think maybe I threw out, I don't remember who did it, but said, how about the Chipotle team? Because we were having Chipotle for lunch that day, and it appeals across generations, and the food's pretty good. Lucky for us, Bill Schertzer was a member of that team, and he went on a search for C names in the Bible. And he came to the story, helped us kind of re-remember the story of Cleopas and the walk to Emmaus. If you don't know that story, don't worry. We're going to actually dig into that story today. You're going to hear that story today. What happened, however, is that in reading that story and taking into account all that everyone had said, God opened up a vision for us, for the people of Clay Church through this word, through this story, a vision that has had a lasting impact. Embrace, ignite, expand. If today's message in a moment has echoes of the past, of sermons past, that's intentional. To know where we are going, today we're going to talk about the road ahead, and to know where we're going means knowing where we have been. Ultimately, though, today we're going to search together for God's word for the road ahead for each one of us. So let's turn again to this story of a couple of followers of Jesus on the road. This is the story from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. It is the story of the walk to Emmaus. Jesus has died. His followers have scattered. We pick up the story there. Now, on that same day, two of the followers of Jesus, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted them to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips this day and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And Lord, take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in Luke's gospel, when Cleopas and the other disciple are on the road to Emmaus after the death of Jesus, right, they tell this stranger who turns out to be Jesus, but they don't know that. They tell all about what had happened in Jerusalem. And then they say this: "We had hoped that he had been the one who would redeem Israel." We had hoped, they say. Not, "We are hoping," or "We have hoped," but "We had hoped." Right? The hope for them, it's in the past. They see no hope now, no hope remaining. This walk that they are on, Cleopas and the other follower, it's a walk. We're invited to know it's a walk of struggle and despair. They're grieving. They're discouraged. "Have you not heard," they say to the stranger that is Jesus as they relay the bad news, "it's over. We had hoped, but it's over. We had hoped," which really implies, but it's not what we'd hoped. It isn't what we'd hoped. It's not working out as we had planned. Does this sound familiar? This walk of despair, of struggle, of not knowing what's ahead, of losing the future that you'd hoped for? Does it feel familiar? I have a sense it's familiar to so many right now. so familiar to many of us right here today, and so many right now who don't have a church community where they are embraced. Right? They walk this road of despair and struggle. Some of us walk this road of despair and struggle, and we don't know if anybody is even paying attention. Walking this road of struggle and saying, I'd hoped the cancer would go away for good, but it hasn't. I had hoped my marriage could survive, but it isn't. I had hoped my child would listen and do the right thing, but she's not. I had hoped that job would pan out, but it didn't. I had hoped my family would understand in this time and be there, but for whatever reason, they're not. I'd hoped to live deep into old age with my love, but we didn't. We had hoped that it would all be okay, hoped that it would all go according to our plan, but it isn't, and maybe it never will be. And it's, you know, I think it's in these moments of life, all too present in our world right now, these moments of despair and suffering, of seeing the future upended, it's in these times when we lack hope or companionship, when the future that we'd hoped for is suddenly not there. It's in these moments that, you know what we need more than anything? Just somebody to walk alongside us. Somebody to embrace us right where we are. It's here in these times of struggle and loss that someone may not need answers, that may not even need for us to fix it in this moment, but just to know that somebody loves them, that somebody cares enough to embrace them no matter what, as they are, where they are. Somebody cares enough to meet them right there in the middle of the road. And it's here, it's in this place that Jesus meets Cleopas and the other disciple and listens to them and shares a meal with them. Every person embraced. This is the first pillar of God's vision for us, whatever the road ahead looks like. Every person embraced. Imagine, just, you know, this is one of those moments where I'd love to just sit down and have a conversation with everybody in the congregation one-on-one, which we obviously can't do right now, but just talk about, just imagine what that might look like, every person embraced. Imagine a teenager saying, my mom and dad were getting divorced and I was struggling with everything. And I wouldn't have made it through that time without my small group leader and my small group at church embracing me when things were a mess. Imagine a widower saying, I couldn't imagine, I didn't even think there could be life without the love of my life. But a Stephen minister walked with me through the grief until I was ready to hear that there is life on the other side of death. Could we imagine somebody in your neighborhood saying, I didn't know how tough those days were going to be when we were losing my mom. And then a Clay member showed up with a meal and a prayer shawl and said the church was praying for us. And I just felt embraced in a way I'd never known before. Or imagine a new mom in the community saying, I didn't really have a church home or a support structure at all, really. And after I had the baby, suddenly this train of meals came, started arriving with notes of love from people from Clay Church. That's the church I think God is calling us to be, the people God is calling us to be, a church where every person we encounter feels embraced. Now, I think some will ask with good reason, what do I do? What do I do if I'm not feeling totally embraced? And look, I wholeheartedly wish that the church was perfect, that everybody who heard this message right now felt embraced by Clay Church, were receiving just what they need, that nobody would ever not feel embraced. And yet I also know that we're human. The church is made up of human beings, and we make mistakes. So what do we do if we're not feeling embraced? Well, I think we can reach out and ask. It never hurts to say, I need some help right now. And at the same time, I think the story of Cleopas and the other follower offers us a clue about what to do when we don't feel embraced, when we're struggling. Do you know what Cleopas and the other follower did? As they're struggling to make sense of things, they're walking along the road and they're dejected, and they, you know, they just wonder. They wonder what's going to happen. They've got to wonder if anybody's going to be able to pull it together and care for each other in the midst of this. And you know what they do? They embrace a stranger. Invite him in for a meal. And here's the thing. Almost always, when we offer an embrace to somebody else, what do? Right? They embrace us back. They return the embrace. Right? And when the followers, when they embrace the stranger, what they realize is that Jesus is already with them. But the story doesn't end there. Right? These two followers, they have this moment of revelation, and then they say this. They say, weren't our hearts burning within us as Jesus opened the scriptures to us? And when Jesus then left, they could have gone back into their place of despair, feeling alone. But something happened when they offered this embrace to Jesus. They felt his embrace in return, and his word came to life in them again. Their hearts were stirred. Their passions were ignited again. They weren't afraid of the dark road anymore, right? They had gotten off the road because the dark was coming. They invited the stranger in. But it says, at that very hour, dark road and all, they weren't scared anymore. They were so excited to share that Jesus was alive and with them. They weren't controlled by their fears or a lack of hope. They passionately set out to make a difference. Passions ignited. That's the second part of our vision. So what is the Holy Spirit whispering to you right now? What is the Holy Spirit whispering to you right now? What is God set before you? What is God doing at work in your life? And maybe you've been hesitant to answer whatever God is nudging you to do or encouraging you. Maybe you've been hesitant because you're just not sure you're ready for that much change. Maybe something's been stirring in your heart, something about the world that's not right, and you're just not sure that you can make a difference. You're not sure that you have the time or the energy. What is God doing in your heart? What passion is God stirring right now? You know, 5 years ago, we talked about this at Clay Church. Passions ignited to serve where God is calling us. And can I just celebrate for a moment what God has been up to as people have answered that whisper in and through this congregation? Backpack and Beyond started, an effort which has now distributed more than 1,000 backpacks and school supplies and coats and shoes to needy families in our community. The Unity Garden began. And I don't know if anybody saw it this year, but it produced all kinds of wonderful, fresh produce for people who visited our food pantry and for neighbors in the community. And neighbors in the community have gotten involved in the gardening effort along with our members. Packaway Hunger began. We've packed over 500,000 meals, some of those distributed locally and others around the world. The cafe and the clothing ministry began as members of our congregation felt a nudge to contribute in those ways, to offer more support in clothing for those who are food pantry patrons, and an opportunity to connect at an emotional and spiritual level with those at the cafe. A support group was started for children with autism. A mission was planted in Kenya for families with hospice and hospital patients. All as people listened to the whispers of God, the whispers of the Holy Spirit in their life, and said yes to answering that passion that was being stirred within them. And that there's more, right? There's more that I'm not listing. It doesn't include those who've followed their passion into ways to serving in the community outside of our clay ministries. John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement and really grounded us in the understanding of God that we as a United Methodist Church share today, this love that won't quit, that nothing stands in the way of, and this call to share it. John Wesley talked about this idea of passions being ignited in the church. He said this, he said, "Give me 100 men," and this was a different culture and time, I'm sure today he would have said, "Give me 100 men and women who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. And I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen, they alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon the earth." 100 passionate followers, John Wesley said, could change the world. Now think about this for a moment. More than 100 people will worship with Clay Church today. What if we all tapped into the passions that the Spirit is stirring in each one of us and said boldly with those passions ignited, we are going to lead thousands to know the love of Jesus, to be embraced, to be transformed by God's love. Imagine what God can and will do. Our story of Cleopas and the other follower ends today as they witness to their experience. Right? They've embraced the stranger in their midst, which revealed to them Jesus' presence. And in Jesus' presence, God's word has come to life and their passions have been ignited. And then there's one more step, which is to go out and witness, to go out and expand Christ's love. They become part of those witnesses who will help generations to know God's love in Jesus Christ. You know, the word for witness at the end of Luke's gospel is the same word that is translated as martyr. Essentially, Jesus tells his followers right at the end, right after this story, he says, "You will be my witnesses." In other words, you will give your lives, your whole life, to expanding my love. And as they were willing to give their whole life, each one of them, Jesus' love spread out across the globe and changed the world. So what about you? And what about us? Are we willing, are we ready to give our lives to God to transform the world into a more inclusive and Christ-like community? This story, this vision for us as a church that we take from this story, this is why it matters. It would be relatively easy for us to just be comfortable, right? It'd be easy to stay off the road ahead and just kind of, you know, particularly in this time, just kind of cave in on ourselves and take care of ourselves. Not worry about what's going on out there, not worry about the rest of the world. It'd be really easy to worship at Clay Church or look for somewhere else where we're just fed and comfortable and aren't asked to make sacrifices or do too much or change anything about our lives, where we're provided for and entertained, but not asked to get out of our comfort zones. Yet shouldn't worship be that place where we encounter the risen Christ, where we encounter resurrection? Shouldn't worship be where our eyes are open to what the Scripture says and how we're called to in all moments turn our lives back to God, to offer our lives in a way that brings wholeness and healing and forgiveness and hope and love to the world? That's why we gather as Clay Church, to be reminded of this vision that God is calling us to live into. As part of living into this vision, as part of that vision process, we started Clay Circles a few years ago. Our circles, they're small groups that get together regularly to embrace each other, to pray, to read Scripture, and then to learn and to grow and to hold each other accountable as we seek to live into that vision, to see where Jesus leads us. When we launched those circles a few years ago, I shared then, as I do now, invited us then, as I do now, to think of these as expanding circles. Not static, but expanding circles. The idea is that we're in these circles and they're always growing because we're always growing. And as they grow, they're like hula hoops that we're you know, putting out there to reach other people who don't know the embrace and love of Jesus. If you're not in a circle, I hope you'll consider joining one. We're having a Clay Church family reunion. You'll be receiving information about that. It's going to be outside after worship, and there'll be an opportunity to learn more about circles and get connected. Or you can contact Ashley Evans, our director of circles and connections. As we think about vision and we think about ministry today, particularly about our circles ministry, like all of our ministries today, in fact, like all of our lives today, right, it's all been upended by the pandemic. And I had a pastor just the other day who asked, it's like, are you preaching about the pandemic like every week? And I said, I hope not. I actually had to stop and think for a moment. There's ministry ahead. There's more to talk about. But it's worth noting, particularly as we think about the future and the road that we're on and the road ahead and where we're going to be Jesus to others on that road ahead, that our lives have truly been upended and our ministries have been upended. And I don't know about you, but I think most of us, we like things to be clear and we like to feel like we know exactly where we're going and we like to sense that we have control. But the truth is, if we learn anything from the early followers of Jesus, it would be this, that the path to following Jesus and sharing his love, it is not easy. It is messy. And that the way to walk that path is not to walk it as though we're in control, but to put control in the hands of God by giving ourselves into relationship with Jesus. You see, the disciples, they didn't start with a clear game plan. They didn't start by having that path all figured out and exactly who was going to be where when. They started out just with purpose and vision. They just knew that their lives had been transformed by the love of God, that they knew God. They knew the extent of God's love for them now better than ever, and their purpose and mission was all about sharing it and embracing others in that love. Walk with more people to know Jesus and begin to create God's kingdom on earth. They knew that that was their mission and their vision. And then the plan of what the church might look like into its future, it developed as they entered into relationships and they spread out, they centered those relationships in the love of Jesus. So this is our invitation, your invitation. You have a role to play. Whether you are a regular attender of Clay Church or whether you're visiting today, you have a role to play. You are a part of this vision that God has gifted the church. People who don't know God's embrace, they need you. Someone is here today and God's been nudging you and calling you to follow a passion to help others know Christ's love. And I hope today you'll hear God saying, go for it. Don't wait. Don't keep putting it off. You don't have to have it all figured out. Go. Tell somebody. Share this idea. And someone is with us today. It's been thinking there isn't really any way to do much because of everything happening in life right now. And I hope you hear the Spirit say today, there are small ways and big ways to equip the ministries of this church. And everybody has a gift, a way to contribute, whether it be a phone call or a letter or getting involved as a volunteer or words of support to somebody. Everybody has a role to play as part of this body, part of this church. And my guess is someone is with us today as you're here with us right now, and you're thinking, I haven't really even thought about my story mattering to God. Perhaps today you can just imagine God whispering to you, your story is part of my story, and it matters. And you are going to change the world if you'll just live out that passion that I've put in your heart. If you'll just share that love that I want to share with you. And some of you, somebody here with us today, somebody worshiping online with us, you're maybe thinking, I've tried, but I don't know. I don't know that I'm called to make a difference. And maybe you can imagine God whispering into your ear, I have a purpose for you. And you may not feel it and you may not know it. But follow in my love, follow Jesus. Read the scripture and pray. Share that love with others. And I'll be transforming the world in big ways and in small ways and sometimes in ways you can see and lots of times in ways that you can't see, but my love is at work in you. Finally, somebody is with us today, highly involved already. And today, I hope you can see and say, wow, my role fits into this vision of embrace and ignite and expand in this way. And I'm excited to see what God is doing and will continue to do. Because you see, when you realize that Jesus is with you on the road, you're invited to know that your story is part of a bigger story of the church, which is part of an even bigger story of God's salvation, grace, and deliverance in Jesus. I remember one evening, my first years of serving in the church, a youth, probably 16, 17 years old. We were in a small group, and she asked a question kind of toward the end of our small group time. It was in the midst of kind of a really tough 2 or 3 weeks of ministry, and I couldn't tell you now what was going on exactly. I'm pretty sure it was a span where one of the youth had lost her dad, I'd officiated at that funeral service, and I remember right around that same time, another youth had admitted to cutting to a friend who came to us, and we were involved with the family and trying to find support, counseling that she needed. We were in a small group that night, six or seven of us sitting together, and this young woman looked at me, and I'm sure she saw just kind of this weary soul. I was tired. And she asked, she's like, "Why do you do this?" And I knew by the look in her eyes what she was asking me, but I kind of gave a flippant response. I'm like, "Why do I do what?" And she got right at it. She's like, "Ministry. Like, why do you do this? People dying and people struggling and people calling you at all hours. Like, why do you care? Why do you spend weekends with us instead of your family? Like, why do you do this?" And I looked across at her and I realized she had to see how tired I was in that moment. And then I answered and I said this. I said, "Because if even one person hears the promise of resurrection, finds hope in Jesus, recognizes that they are loved by Jesus through my love for them, even one person sees their life transformed or changed, comes to know even in the midst of the mess of their lives that God loves them, then it is worth it." And then, because sometimes I can't let a serious moment just sit and be serious, I said, "And I love ministry with youth because it helps me feel young and hip and cool." And she looked right at me and she said, "We don't say hip anymore, Pastor Brian." Why do we do it? Why do we come to church? Why are you with us in worship today? Why does any of this matter? Why this vision for Clay Church? Because 2,000 years ago, God sent his son into the world where he would be beaten and he would suffer and he'd be killed so that rising from the dead, we might know the gift and promise of resurrection, a love of God that won't stop at anything in redeeming the world. And because there are people today who still don't know that love or don't feel embraced by that love. And God is continuing to call our church to walk the road ahead and encounter those who are walking that road that are confused and struggling and hurting, and to offer them this gift of the promise of hope and grace and resurrection in Jesus. May we do just that. Let us pray. Lord, we need your presence on the long road. The road between fear and hope. The road between the place where all is lost and the place of resurrection. God, like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, we are in need of your company, in need of the promise that you walk with us. So Jesus, wherever we are, stand beside us right now. In your risen power, in this time of worship, let us be filled with the fact that you are here. Let us be filled with your presence. May it be a reminder to all who gather right now, wherever we are, of the power of your grace. A moment to claim that grace. Moment to be transformed by it. And call to live in it so that we can make our world a more inclusive and Christ-like community. In Jesus' name we pray.